David Smith. How are you, David Smith?
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, if any mother should ever happen to listen to this. Happy Mother's Day. Doing well. No, I have not called my mother yet. I will do so later.
Oh boy, you're in trouble already.
No. My sister's down there. I will call them later. They'll be thrilled to hear from me. So
I'm sure they will. One of the reasons we decided to do this podcast is that David and I, in the past, have been able to spot long-term trends and their logical conclusion long before the many so-called experts. One of the reasons for this podcast is to be able to have a record of what we got right and obviously also what we will get wrong. I think we are at that point again. And what I'm referring to is the events in Iowa this weekend. I think both of us feel that it was a game-changing moment, right, David?
Absolutely, yes.
Specifically, what we're referring to is Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump holding competing events in Iowa. The DeSantis campaign was the first to announce their event. And even though the Trump campaign insisted they had been working on their rally before they heard about Ron DeSantis going to Iowa, the suspicion is that Trump added that event, added that rally with the full intention of sort of overshadowing. I don't want to sort of rain on Ron DeSantis' parade.
Did you say rain on Sid DeSantis'?
I was trying so hard to avoid that, saying that, and my brain just froze.
I was going to make a weather reference also, and I was going to say steal his thunder.
But anyway.
Yeah, that's not what we want this podcast to become known for, but this is why we work so well together.
But that was the goal, to go to Iowa, have his big rally, his operative on influencers, I guess that's the word now, on Twitter, brag about the great crowd that, and how Donald Trump still has the grassroots. And I'm 100% sure that that was the plan. But it didn't work out that way for Trump. At the last moment, Donald Trump canceled his event, supposedly because there was a tornado watch. There was a tornado watch, okay? There was a tornado watch. But I think most people who live in tornado areas, like you and I do, David, that's not a big deal.
Listen, remember, I lived on Walnut Hill Lane about a year before the tornado that came through there. The house that I lived in for a year was directly in the path of that tornado that came through North Dallas several years back. So yeah, we live right in, it's kind of the edge of, but we live in Tornado Alley. This is the start of it right around here.
Exactly. So a tornado watch really doesn't stop anything. And it did not stop anything in Iowa because there were no flights canceled. There was nothing canceled. The suspicion, and I think it's a well-founded suspicion, is that the crowd just wasn't showing up. Yeah, there was, the faithful were there, but it wasn't the kind of crowd that he needed to humiliate DeSantis.
Well, you posted a very funny image.
Which one are you referring to? Because I posted several.
This event was canceled due to...
This event has been postponed due to small crowds.
Well, and somebody blotted out whatever was on the sign, and then they put in the words small crowds. So they're obviously mocking Trump.
The actual sign, the original sign, it said that it was canceled due to weather. The DeSantis people and the Never Trumpers are mocking Trump for not showing up. While the Trump people are fighting back, trying to say that, oh no, there was a tornado and he was just looking out for his fan. I thought this was pretty brilliant on the part of the DeSantis campaign. When they saw that Trump canceled, they added an unscheduled event about 5 minutes from where Trump was going to be, was going to have his rally. So that showed quick thinking. It was a troll,
right?
But it was also a brilliant move.
Yeah, so obviously, there are a lot of people talking about exactly what you said. This was canceled because DeSantis had a very good event. It was televised. He spoke on a range of policy issues and successes that he has had. I came away from it saying, you know, that's a very impressive list of achievements for a fellow who I think has basically just started his second term as governor. Is that correct?
Yes.
So he was 3 terms in Congress, 1 term in the governorship. He has a very impressive record across a very broad list of policy topics.
I want to go back to talking about the reaction yesterday. Okay, everybody's having fun. We established that. But I think you and I are the only ones who actually looked at what happened yesterday and feel like this was a game changer. This change fundamentally changed the race.
Yes.
You mentioned that you thought that yesterday was Donald Trump's high water mark.
Well, I think Friday was, because yesterday was an unmitigated disaster. Friday night, everyone went to bed and it was all Donald Trump. He was polling 50% nationally in one poll. Now, this is for the primary. And there are now polls in individual states for the primary, specifically Trump versus DeSantis. And there are 2 states, not including Iowa, that Trump is listed at 50% plus. So nationally, he's polling 50% plus. In 2 early primary states, he's polling 50% plus. And, you know, remember in 2015, when my preferred candidate dropped out relatively early in the proceedings, I was just like, well, I don't have to decide on anybody, so I'm just going to kind of sit up here on the fence and watch everybody walk by. I started looking at the polling, and in considering the rules in each state for how they break down their delegates and award, and looking at the number of delegates, where they were on the calendar, I went through and I assembled everything that we had information for. But I said very early on that I thought Trump was going to win the nomination on the first ballot with over 1,700 delegates. So, you know, I've done this before. And just in looking at the situation yesterday, remember that poll that you talked about in our last episode that was talking about the about 24% for DeSantis, 27% for Trump. Maybe I'm getting those backwards.
Well, it wasn't 24% for DeSantis. It was 24% solid Trump, and it was 24, let's say 25%, just to make it easy. 25% solid Trump and 25% solid no Trump, anti-Trump.
Okay, so I'm misremembering the categories there, but there are 25% were absolutely not Trump. Okay, and then there was roughly 50% in the middle that are Trump plus somebody else.
Yeah, they're still undecided.
So I'm basically making some assumptions, which I'm basically categorizing that 25% anti-Trump as DeSantis, because he's pretty much the big dog other than Trump in this race.
There's nobody else. I mean, nobody's talking about, yes, of course, there's some people who, you know, there's Nikki Haley has announced, and I guess Vivek, I don't even know how to begin to pronounce his last name.
Ramaswamy or whatever his name, yeah. Yeah, it's like Andrew Chang. Vivek is going to come out. He's going to say some really great things. And 5 people, including you and I, are going to hear them. Is about it.
They're not an alternative to Trump, and everybody knows it.
So anyway, in looking at the polling from those couple of early states, making a couple of assumptions that, okay, if Trump has solidly 25% of the polling at this stage, when everybody knows Trump, love him, hate him, in between, everybody knows what Trump is about. If there's 50% out there who are not saying that they're for Donald Trump, there's a massive percentage of votes available for Ron DeSantis to, if he goes out and he does yesterday 25 times, he's going to pick up votes. He's going to see a sway from those couple of states and the national poll to have Trump at 50%+. That's going to drop down under 50%. Now, at that moment, you have a shift in delegates where instead of Trump winning winner-take-all states in entire delegate counts, now he's going to have to split those delegates up. And as it continues going like that, if it continues trending like that.
Oh, by the way, this is how desperate it's getting for Trump. He, I guess, apparently on Truth. I'm not on Truth. I'm just seeing people that pick up the tweets or whatever you call them on Truth, and they post them on Twitter.
The truths.
Okay. They post them on Twitter, and Donald Trump just now shared a video from an account called Storm Chaser, doubling down like he always does. It was a disaster yesterday. There's no way around it. At this point, actually, I think it may be better for Trump to just not even talk about it instead of pushing this argument that somehow there were tornadoes in the area. He should just move on.
You know what I would have done, would have been a good idea for Trump to have done, was leave Florida, fly up to Chicago, put out that, hey, we're going to stage in Chicago, and if the event is not able to go on tonight, then we're going to be in the area so we can get out to you quickly tomorrow, and we'll be there same site at 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever, pick a time. So you're in Chicago, people know, hey, he's nearby, he's going to be here. Even if there was a tornado on the ground, if there's a massive amount of devastation, Trump there on the scene hours after it happened would have been tremendous.
Exactly.
That would have been, there's some potential there for some really big take up instead of take down as it's turning out. I mean, he's becoming a caricature on this issue. And yeah, you're exactly right. For his benefit, he needs to just shut up on this. Move on. Talk about where you're going to go next.
But I want to go back to what you were talking about, the numbers and how the delegates are allocated. And apparently Donald Trump changed the rules, give himself an advantage, which that's politics. I don't have a problem with that. There was an article that was published on March 6th of this year from Ed Kilgore. I will put the links in the show notes. And it's talking exactly about that in 2020, about 60% of the convention delegates were chosen in winner-take-all primaries or in contests in which a candidate who won over 50% of the vote received the entire delegate haul. This time around, the states have until October 1st to decide how they're going to allocate their delegates, but in all likelihood, inertia will rule. And then he asks, who benefits from this system? End of quote. For Trump to benefit from the system he put in place, he has to hold on to the 52% that he has now. And actually, he needs to find a way to build upon it, which I think is going to be extremely difficult because Trump is a known quantity. He is a former president. He is the last Republican president. There is no mystery about Trump. DeSantis, on the other hand, has a great deal of upside potential because outside of the political junkies, I don't think he's well known, and he has ample opportunity to define himself, to define people's perception of him.
Yes, yes. And I think that the potential could be that DeSantis could be the one who's benefiting Major League from that winner-take-all situation. 2015, 2016 was 2015, 2016. 23 and 24 are 2023 and 2024. It's a different situation for him entirely.
It is a completely different situation. And from what I see, and I could be 100% wrong, Donald Trump is trying to implement the same strategy he used in 2016. Mm-hmm. But even in 2016, his strategy did not work well in Iowa. He came in second, and then he did what he always does. He claimed fraud. In Iowa, you need an organization. It's a caucus state. You need to make sure that your people show up at the right place and they stick around until the process is over. And Donald Trump was unwilling to spend money in 2016. I see no indication that he's willing to spend the money this round. Of course, anything can change. One thing is for sure. If Ron DeSantis gets in, he will have the organization. And if Ron DeSantis wins Iowa, that's going to be a big blow for Trump to recover from.
Well, like you said, Iowa is all about organization. There's a very, very, very established game plan that involves Iowa. He's running a 2015-2016 game plan where he wants to have as much free media as possible. And it's 8 years later.
That's why yesterday was significant, because it shows how much Trump's strategy is still centered on getting the big crowds. Of course, he still has plenty of time. He could change strategy altogether, come up with a completely different campaign strategy. But if he stays on this course and he fails to get the crowds, I can see where his campaign, his presidential campaign, will implode very, very quickly.
If Trump makes the changes in his campaign, if he takes on the rhetoric that he needs for 2024, instead of trying to either complain about the electoral situation in 2020, or if he goes back to the 2016 talking points, this is 2024. Say the 2024 words, boss, repeat after me, say these things. Okay, cool. Now go out there and campaign on that. If he were to do that.
You also don't win campaigns by leaving the battlefield. And that's exactly what Donald Trump did yesterday. He left the battlefield. He created a huge opening, and the DeSantis campaign, kudos to them, were ready to move right in at an event. And apparently Fox News was going to cover Trump's rally and instead ended up covering DeSantis.
This is assuming Friday was the high water mark, and you're going to see a percentage here and there every time DeSantis goes out and speaks, talks about his record, talks about what he's done, and talks about what Biden is doing, and provide a, this has been said several times, a positive alternative to Biden.
Well, we wanted to record this, go on record, and let's see. In, I think a few months from now, I think a lot of people will join us in our assessment today. What do you think?
I think that a lot of people will look back at this and they will think that yesterday was the beginning of the end for Donald Trump in politics.
I think that's the perfect note to end this program.
Fantastic. Thank you, ma'am.